Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, certainly this world does a good job of trying to make us feel like we're just a number, as we heard last week. Jesus reminded us that he is the good shepherd and we are his precious sheep. God wants us to know that we are precious to him, and he will always act on our best behalf. The Lord doesn't just see you as a number, as something to deal with. He doesn't pester or flatter us because he wants to get something out of us. No, God has an interest in you, not because he wants to get something from you, but because he wants to give something to you, to give eternal treasures. And God used a man named Philip to show a lonely foreigner how precious he was to God. The Lord Jesus uses us in turn to show other people just how important they are to God, as our epistle said. And that's why I love this story from Acts so much. It's exciting and encouraging. Because you see, there's several Philips, two of them of significance in the early Christian church. And one is Philip the fisherman, the brother of Nathanael from Bethsaida, who left his fishing boat. And he's one of those that was called as the 12 apostles. This Philip, though, is referred to as Philip the evangelist. This is the Philip like Stephen, who, well, he was one of those seven deacons of the early church that had the job of taking care of the Greek widows and ended up sharing the gospel in Samaria. And it was there that he was described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. He ended up sharing the gospel in Samaria when that persecution arose in Jerusalem. And you see, that's all part of how God used the plan to spread the good news. As he said, as Jesus said, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And this Philip, up in Samaria, the angel sends him south onto that Gaza road. It's that desert road that seems to be somewhat of a chance encounter, but God had it all planned. It was an opportunity now to send the gospel all the way to Africa. So when you take up a stone and throw it into a lake, what happens to the water? There's kind of a plop, and the stone goes in, and the little circle of waves makes that perfect circle and goes ever outward, bigger and bigger, and spreads further and further away from the center. And that's what's going on in Philip's day in the early Christian church. At Pentecost, all those disciples were there in Jerusalem, and it was not too long that the persecution began, and believers were being scattered. And that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because they went out like ever-expanding circles. The first mission field after the Jews was the Samaritans. And in Acts chapter 8, it records that Philip's work there with the church of Samaria, it was going very well and it was growing. There were many new Christians, so many, in fact, that the apostles Peter and John went up from Jerusalem to help Philip with this huge Samaritan church that was growing. And there were things happening there, and Philip was doing great work, so much that the Lord knew that it was now time to expand that circle even bigger. The Jews had the word of God. Samaritans had the word now, and now what was going to happen was that it was going to be given to other places and other races as well. And so we see the first verse of our text. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the road that went along the coastal area from Israel down to Egypt, bordering along the Mediterranean Sea, known as the Via Maris, or the Way of the Sea, an ancient trade route. And I don't know what Philip was thinking when he got this command, but I would have thought something like this, maybe, well, things are going great here. I've got people to work with and the gospel to help them grow in their faith. And now God wants me to go hang out on this desert road. But you see, God doesn't view people as just an insignificant number. Each soul is precious to Him. And there was one struggling soul there on that road that needed Philip's attention, God's attention, and God had a plan. This man was that Ethiopian eunuch. And God wanted him to know about Jesus. And you know what a eunuch is? Well, it's a guy that's fixed, that isn't going to have any kids. And we might wonder, well, why is it the Bible makes this point? 6 times in this text refers to him as a eunuch. Well, you see, in ancient times, the world was often ruled by royal families, and they had high officials in their government that, well, they required to be eunuchs before they could hold those positions. It might seem a little bit weird to us, but it gave that royal family some peace of mind, because the king knew that he wouldn't have to worry about this official murdering him and taking over his throne and setting up his own as a royal family. So there was kind of a logic to this strange practice, and it was kind of a mixed blessing in the ancient world to be such a high official. And this man was the treasurer for the queen. Well, you would have a lot of power and money and honor, a good job, probably a pretty nice house, but probably also a bit of a lonely life. No big family to come to in the evening, and you probably were simply that servant of the ruler. Well, this eunuch would have felt very special, wouldn't have felt very special during his trip to Jerusalem. He'd come to worship Yahweh, the true God, known to the Hebrew people. He would have been known what was the proselyte of the gate. He knew the true God, but he didn't know about the promised Savior. Yes, he was a wealthy man, but his black skin probably made him stand out even in Jerusalem. And Ethiopia, if you know anything of geography, is south of Sudan, and Sudan is south of Egypt, and it's on that northeastern edge of Africa. And I wonder if he stood out, well, whether there were any comments or jokes that he heard as he walked by. You'd probably think it would have been pretty lonely, a foreigner, and yet they were forbidden by the law of Moses to become fully integrated with the Jewish worship life. They were proselytes of the gate, as they were called in the Old Testament. They could worship, but near the temple, they couldn't go into all the places where the Jewish men could go to worship. They couldn't enter into the inner courts of the temple. Possibly even the women could go further than the foreigner. And can you imagine how it would feel to be an outsider like that and have to stand out at somewhat of a distance within the bigger court, and you could only hear from a distance? And here this eunuch had traveled many, many miles to learn more about this true God, to worship Him, and the closest he could get was a certain outside banister barrier. Maybe that's why he bought the scroll, which probably would have cost him a great sum of money because they were hand-copied one at a time, but it wasn't doing him much good because he didn't understand it. Imagine it was maybe even a little bit of a frustrating trip to Jerusalem. This eunuch had been instructed and he knew about the true God as revealed in the Old Testament. But he might have felt just a little bit like another number. Probably like sometimes you go in and to a store and have a nice day. As he bought that scroll, to have a nice day, and he was happy to take the money from the man. Whoever showed concerns probably noticed his rich attire and his clothes, and he was just maybe after the money. But the Lord loved him just as he loves all people. And so Philip, taken out of a successful church up in Samaria, in order that this one valuable soul would have an understanding of God's plan of redemption and salvation. God worked it so that this eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. Now, the book of Isaiah has sometimes been called the fifth gospel because no other Old Testament book talks more about the Messiah as the book of Isaiah. No chapter probably speaks of the work of Jesus for lost sinners better than Isaiah 53, that little portion that we heard, talking about a lamb, the Passover lamb, salvation, a suffering servant. Philip was invited into the chariot. And there, Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch about his sin and his Savior. He taught him about Christ's resurrection and the repentance and the blessings of baptism. And through God, the Holy Spirit, he was working in through Philip's witness. And one more precious soul learned that he had a Savior, and that he could be a part of God's family through faith and baptism. And whatever it was said to him, that effect was immediate. The Holy Spirit worked that faith in him, and the eunuch believed, and it's like scales fell from his eyes. He's so excited about that revelation of this grace of God that he can't wait to be a part of this new covenant, the people of God. And he asks to be baptized when they come to water. And you can probably imagine as he returned to Ethiopia to tell his friends and his families about the marvelous news of Jesus Christ. And again, the gospel expands. The gospel continues to go outward in its movement to the ends of the earth, all the way to Africa. You're not just a number to God. The very fact that you are sitting here in God's house proves that. How many things did God do for you to make sure that you became a believer and were sitting here today? How many so-called Philips did God send into your life to explain the work of his death for you and his resurrection for you? Whom did God put in your life to make sure that you were baptized? And who took the time to teach you the scriptures so that you would understand the Bible and be ready to receive all of God's good gifts such as baptism and communion? The world out there, it's mostly interested in our stuff. God here in this house, he wants to know that he's interested in you. Not taking stuff from you, but giving you good things. God wants you to know in Christ that he has given you a seat at his heavenly table. No matter what your sins, they've all been taken care of. And so you and I will be with the Lord forever, because of that work of Christ. And maybe we need to do a better job of remembering why we are here, because we want our church to keep growing, yes, but it's not simply because we want their money or we want their revenue for our church, but rather that's the way the world views things. But in the church, we want members and prospects to keep coming back because God gives them more and more spiritual strength and peace in their hearts as they hear that word of God and the faith grows. Oh, don't get me wrong. At times we may talk about money, but that's simply reminding us about the many gifts God has given us, stuff to be a blessing to others. But the greatest blessing is that we can be a person who's on the way to hear the gospel and live with God forever in heaven. Philip and his big Samaritan church, they probably didn't get a dime from the Ethiopian eunuch, except the joy of knowing that God had used him to bring another person to faith and expand the kingdom further out. And that's why we are here. That's why we pray that God would let us grow, that through our congregational efforts, more people are pried away from the hands of Satan and that they would live with Jesus Christ. And instead, like the Ethiopian eunuch, they will have that joy of being with Jesus forever. Philip could have viewed that Ethiopian eunuch as a kind of a different foreigner and maybe a waste of his time. Time that he could have spent with his church in Samaria. But Philip didn't look at people that way either. And the Lord, who loves all people, he wants to teach us this morning to view people as not as bothers and obstacles, but as treasures and opportunities to share our faith. God will bring about the results when we talk about the gifts of forgiveness, of peace, that Jesus has brought into our life. So open our eyes for ways to share that faith. It may not be as obvious as sitting next to someone on the airplane with their Bible open to Isaiah 53, asking you, what does this passage mean? And then again, maybe. God works in mysterious ways. There will be opportunities possibly before you this week to as you open your eyes and look for them. The opportunity might come in the form of a person who asks you as a Christian about a certain book or a movie, or you could tell them about the book of books, God's Word, has that eternal truth and how it sheds light. It might be someone who's wondering, why are there so many bad things that happen and evil people in this world? Gives you a talk, an opportunity to talk about sin and gospel, God's redemption work in Christ. And as you go about your day, it's there that you might be the only one that shares the good and glorious things and shares what God has for them, and bringing them to praise God. Paul writes in Romans and asks all these questions, and you know the answers. He says, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or sharing the good news? Now, I guess there probably aren't many occasions when an angel has come to you to tell you to go somewhere. But there probably has been a tugging on your heart at times in the ordinary routine of your daily life. I'm sure there have been not just simply sorts of chance encounters with people, moments when people were asking serious questions and you thought, I wonder if I should say something about my faith. I wonder if I should say something about God or Jesus. Should I pick up and continue the conversation in a spiritual way and see where it'll go? So Philip asked a very simple, perfectly natural question. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, if you think about it, that's not such a bad question up your sleeve, especially on issues of religion, particularly Christianity as it comes up. He's invited, that might be an opportunity to explain. It might be someone like the eunuch, not feeling very special, maybe feeling more like a number than an individual. It may be the chance that God is giving you, the chance to tell them how valuable, how dearly loved they are by God. Oh, by the way, Did you know that the Christian church in Ethiopia goes way back to the early days? Today there's a huge population of Christians in Ethiopia. There's more than 6 million Lutherans alone, growing rapidly, the fastest growing church in Africa and those parts of the world. I think that Ethiopian eunuch went home on his way rejoicing. And I think he told someone about Jesus when he got home. You and I too can tell someone what Christ did for us as a treasured person. How will God use you this week? Open your eyes to view other people as God views you. Not just a number, but as a precious soul bought back by His Son's blood. So treat everyone that you meet this week as a precious treasure, even those you don't like, because that's how God sees them. And that's true because Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.